For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, I would like to wish all our listeners and their families a very enjoyable and safe holiday season. We really appreciate you tuning in on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock as we're striving to preach the Word of God, and we don't take your listening for granted. And so we would like to thank all of you for doing just that. Now, last Lord's Day, we were studying the subject, thinking properly, and we looked at Philippians 4:8 as our text. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. As we concluded our study last Lord's Day, I failed to mention I wanted to continue this study today, and so we'll want to do that in just a moment as we'll look at the word think. And so, as we think about what are we going to do in the coming year, we make plans. But do our plans include obeying the gospel, remaining faithful in the Lord's church, serving God faithfully even unto death? Well, that's something to think about, is it not? Well, we'll pick back up with our study here on thinking properly in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. We all should know that stands for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. And at this time, we'd like to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also in spirit with a proper attitude. So that would be, of course, both in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. We're a friendly congregation. Something else to mention. If you're interested in sitting down and studying God's Word together, we look forward to those opportunities. So let us know when that time, if that's convenient for you, and we'll want to set that up. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. So again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study as we continue on thinking properly. So we're going to take the word think and look at each letter, what it stands for in our study. So we'll begin, of course, with T. We need to test every thought. As human beings, we're made in the image of God. We can do that. We can test our thoughts. Genesis 1:26 and 27, we know that God made man in his own image. So we're able to think abstractly. That is, we're able to comprehend, to reason, to appreciate beauty, to make choices. Animals, of course, cannot think abstractly, but they have God-given instincts, and they can do a lot of things that might amaze us, but they're not made in the image of God. And so we need to understand that separation. And God has commanded us to test our thoughts. Notice Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we're to cast down false arguments against the truth and God's will, are we not? Well, notice with me 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice that again. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So we must look into the mirror of the soul to know ourselves. And that mirror is the Word of God, as you see in James 1:21-26, especially verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we've got to look into the perfect law of liberty. That's the mirror of the soul. Now, let me give an example of how we need to test every thought. As a lot of religious groups, a lot of churches are going to have a special religious service in regards to Christmas, as they're seeing this as the actual birth of Christ. Well, is that what the Bible is teaching us to do? If it is, we should do it. But if it's not what the Bible is teaching us and instructing us to celebrate this as a religious holy day, you see, then we're not following the authority of the Scriptures. We're adding to it. And it gets to be very strong tradition over the years. And me bringing this out does not make me a very popular preacher. But when you come down to the bottom line here, Christ Mass, of course, came from the Catholic Church. It did not come from the Scriptures. Jesus was not born in the winter time when the shepherds were in the fields, when? At night with their sheep. Luke 2:8-12 brings that out. They were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Well, that's not what's going to happen in December. There's a lot of things that are wrong when you look, for example, at the nativity scene where they show three wise men there in the stable. Well, if you look at Matthew 2:1-12, we don't know that there were three. There were three different gifts, but they weren't there at the stable. No, that came later when Jesus was a young child. So the thing I'm pointing out here is, are we going to stay with the Word of God? Or are we going to go along with tradition? It's becoming very strong over the years, of course. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the holidays and exchanging gifts, having a tree, as long as we're not making this a religious holy day. That would be wrong, because it's not authorized in the Scriptures. So that's what I'm saying about proving all things as God instructed us. So we need to test every thought. But let's go on. Let's look at the word H. Helmet your head. Satan is after us, therefore we need protection. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Are we diligent? Are we protecting ourselves? Notice 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Word of God needs to be all over us. Notice with me now Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now let's go down to verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And notice verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this is showing us that we need to have the Word of God all over us, in our minds. Helmet your head. Yes, we need to keep the Word of God in our thoughts. That helps us when we're fighting temptation. The Lord quoted the scriptures when Satan tried tempting him after coming out of the wilderness, having fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So let's ask this question. Can we be thinking properly about God when we take issue with what God's Word has revealed to us? When we're stubborn and say, I'm going to do it my way, but if my way is not God's way, I'm in the wrong. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways, as we know from Isaiah 55. So thinking right about God is made possible only by knowing and obeying His will, not tradition. Not all tradition is bad, I'll point that out, but when that tradition is going against the will of God, it is. When man starts traditions that are in opposition to the Scriptures, that's departing the will of God, is it not? Well, of course it is. Notice 1 John 2:3 through 5. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. We cannot think properly without the Word of God. But let's go on in our study of the word think. Now we're ready for the letter I. Imagine great things. Or we could say envision, but we want to use the I. Imagine great things. And this is, of course, involving thinking in our minds. So imagine the power that works in us through the gospel of Christ. Paul pointed this out, did he not? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Notice that power. Yes, God has all power. And the gospel is what brings us to Christ as we obey the gospel. We are added to his body, the true church. 1 Corinthians 1:18, notice, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Yes, a lot of people think it's foolishness, preaching the gospel. "But unto us which are saved, it is" what? "The power of God." 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We know God is unlimited in power, do we not? Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Yes, that's right. Great things the Lord has done for me, as his understanding is infinite. What about you? Great things the Lord has done for you, as his understanding is infinite. Is it not the case? Psalm 147:5, "Great is our Lord, and of great power his understanding is infinite." Well, only by the power, that is the authority of Christ, can we obtain salvation. As we note in Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name." That would mean authority, would it not? "There's none, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. So let's remember that God the Father gave Christ all power, all authority, that is, in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. Excuse me. Now, let's go to the letter N in the word think. Nourish your mind. All of us need to nourish our minds. Just as our physical bodies need proper nourishment, our minds need renewing by feeding upon, of course, God's Word. Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God," as we talked about earlier. Testing our thoughts, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we need to be not conformed to this world, but what? Transformed. By the renewing of our mind, we've got to turn our hearts and thoughts and our desires to what is God's will and seek it out in God's Word. Apply it to our lives. Ephesians 4:21-24, notice, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Nourish our minds. Yes, that's right. Now notice Mark 7:21-23. And this is what our Lord stated about evil being in the mind. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And therefore, we must not allow evil thoughts to fester, but remove them by quoting or studying God's Word, just as Jesus did in Matthew 4, we mentioned earlier. Now, we cannot keep the birds from flying over our heads, but we certainly can keep them from building a nest on our head, in our hair. Who wants to have a bird nest in our hair? Well, we're not going to allow that, are we? We shouldn't allow these evil thoughts to remain in our minds. Once they start, get it out of the way. Get it out of there. Think about the Word of God. And as we love God with all our being, we can keep our minds with all diligence. Notice with me Mark 12, beginning in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is likened unto it. Yes, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" Notice, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.' And no man after that durst ask him any question." So let's notice here. The heart. Yes, with all our heart, we're to love God. Our emotions are to be involved. But also our soul, the spiritual inner man. That's certainly going to be involved in loving God. Our mind is referring to our intellect and our thoughts. Yes, we're to love God with all our strength as well. That's our physical application here, would it not be? So, can we say honestly that we love God with all our being? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. Are we daily Bible readers? Not just reading a chapter to say we've read it, but actually studying what we're reading. 1 Timothy 4:6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained." 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So are we nourishing our minds? Can we honestly say that we love God with all our being? And are we daily Bible studiers, not just reading? Well, let's go on. First, now we're ready for the last letter, and that would be K. And let's notice. Keep on learning. That's right. Keep on learning. We must never stop learning, as we are part of a lifelong learner covenant. Jeremiah 31:33 is quoted by the Hebrew inspired writer, that is Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind." Did we note that? "And write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Write them in their hearts. Keep on learning. Our Christian growth will stop if we cease learning from God's Word. We start out our individual faith as a babe in Christ, but we continue growing even after we have matured in our faith. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We must never lose our hunger and thirst for spiritual nourishment. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Do we realize the power of God's word? Romans 1:18. Notice Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, as we close our study, whoever or whatever gets my mind gets me. Proverbs 4:23. What kind of thoughts do I have most frequently? Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Question 3. Am I still hungering and thirsting for God's word, as we looked at Matthew 5:6? Well, God extends this invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We must use logic and reason. As God says, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18. And so this morning, what about our thoughts? Are we thinking about how to please God? Are we desiring to do His will and stay faithful no matter what? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We've got to think about what God would have us to do and be determined then to do it. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's the next step. John 8:24. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated, ready to repent, changing our will, and now we're going to do God's will. Luke 13:3-5. Once repenting from our sins, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. We come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And we thank you so much for listening